Voice of One Witness radio broadcast. We are centering in on the great unseen host and the realm of angels, created beings that God has created and given certain jobs to. We're going to talk right now about the job that God has given them, the commandment that God has given them to save, in to deliver, now from danger. Now, Psalm 71 says, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness, and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me, and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me." Thus, this means to save me, to deliver me, to help me to escape when I'm in trouble. And it says, "You, O Lord, have given commandment to save me." To whom did he give the commandment to deliver us, to watch over us, to protect us, to save us from harm? The Bible tells us that he gave that commandment to angels. Psalm 34, verse 7. "The angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear him and delivers them." Round about you, wherever you are right now, a commandment has been given to an unseen being or more than one to deliver you, to help you to escape troubles. We'll see that also in Psalm 91, verse 11. Well, I think we'll go with verse 10. "There shall no evil befall you, neither shall any plague come nigh your dwelling." Why? For, in verse 11, "For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. They shall bear you up in your hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone." This says that God charges them. When you give a charge to someone to do a job, they must do that job, or they must answer to you why they didn't do that job. Now, I told this story a couple of weeks ago because we've been talking about angels for a while now, about what happened to my husband, Kent Brim. We went to Baton Rouge, Louisiana for about 3 years on a job assignment. He was there with M.W. Kellogg Company. They were building huge chemical companies up and down the Mississippi River. And the job was over a few months, 2 or 3 months before school was out. So rather than move our children before the end of the school term, Kent took a temporary job for a company that made, I believe it was Fajin gas. I could be wrong about that. Kent's gone to heaven to live now, and I can't ask him. But I know it was a very dangerous product. It was the only company in the United States, the only plant that made it, and it was used in other products. So they had a corner on the market. There was some of this gas left over from World War I. And when they would transport it by rail car across the United States, there would always be a flurry of protest when it was coming across the state. I'd say that to tell you it was a very dangerous place. But Kent was working there, and one day there came a problem. The problem was up high somewhere, as I remember it. And they said, if someone will just go up there to the top and just fix this little thing, we won't have to shut the plant down. Shutting the plant down meant losing lots of money because you had to take a lot of time to start that plant back up again. So Kent, when he told me about this incident, he came home from work early. He was the type of a man who never took off early. He worked hard and he never took off early. But he told me what happened. They said, if someone would just go up there and fix this, then we won't have to lose all the money. So Kent said, I will do it. And he said, as he started to climb up to that place, he heard a voice. I don't know if it was a physical ears or spiritual ears, but he knew he heard. And the voice said, if you do this, you are more stupid than I thought you were, and I refuse to be responsible for you this time. 3 many visions flashed before his eyes. One, when he was a little boy and his mother had sent him to school, in a taxi. She knew the taxi driver. It was a small town, Pryor, Oklahoma, and probably in the 40s. And he got in the car, and he didn't shut the door well. And it was a rainy day, and when the taxi took a corner fast, Kent slid out and slid onto the gravel, bunged himself all up, went to school with bloody knees. His mother was unhappy about the situation. That flashed before his eyes. Number two situation flashed before his eyes. He had gone hunting with a friend, and the friend took his rifle and lifted it over. He was seated in the passenger seat. He lifted it over into the back seat, and when he did, it discharged and fired a bullet whizzing right by Kent's head. And then the third event was when he was coming home from college one day, and it was icy roads, and his car just spun and spun on those icy highway. Now, these three pictures came into his mind, and then he heard the voice say, "If you do this, you are more stupid than I thought you were, and I refuse to be responsible for you this time." He knew it was his guardian angel, and the guardian angel left. And Kent said, "Billy," when he came home from work, his face was so white, his eyes were so big, and he had a little pet name he called me, and he said, "Hopi," he said, "this, I was so alone. It's like you have always had someone with you, and you didn't really realize they were there, but suddenly they're gone, and I was so alone." So he scampered back down to the ground, told the plant manager, and the plant manager said, "Fine." Who knows what would have happened if he had not yielded to the angel. Yes, one must yield to angels. I told that story when I came back home, and I was working at Kenneth Hagin Ministries to a young woman, and she said, "Well, how can that be? We're Christians, we're believers." And my 16-year-old son was killed in a motorcycle accident just last year. And I said, "Well," as I thought about it and prayed about it, I said, "Kent could have been dead, I believe. He heard not to do that, and he yielded and obeyed. He could have been dead." I believe that angels were faithful to say to this woman's young son, "Don't go that way, or delay a little bit. Don't get on that motorcycle." Something that has to be yielded to. Now, we've had two just very recent reports of miracles. One of them, December 17, it's reported in IsraelNationalNews.com that there was a synagogue in Tel Aviv. There is a synagogue in Tel Aviv, which serves as a Jewish study center for the Rosh Yehuda movement. And they were there. The worshipers were there. And they had been in the upper story of the synagogue. The children had been playing in the yard just minutes before when a large crash was heard. The people looked back and saw a giant cloud of dust, which soon cleared and revealed a large hole in the building, 2 to 3 meters wide. "It was truly a miracle," said the rabbi, "that no one was there at that moment. If it had happened a few seconds earlier, there would have been a major calamity. The floor actually fell down a whole story." Bless the Lord. Many, many, many lives were saved by seconds. I believe it could have been the work of angels. They're calling it a miracle. Now here is a story, December 16, that happened just close by my home here in Missouri. A young Amish girl was found. Her father had put her into the Amish buggy, very cold day, wrapped her up, put her into the Amish buggy. And as he was preparing to climb into that buggy, the horse spooked and ran away at breakneck speed. Then, after a while, the little child was thrown out of the buggy. He ran after the horse, but the child had been thrown out of the buggy. We had one of the most terrible cold spells that we've had around. We had one of the most terrible cold spells that we've had around here. It was a freezing, below freezing temperature. And this little child was out all the night long. People were searching for her. But she was found. She was found early in the morning. Just 3.5 years old, little girl. She was found by a woman driving to work. Now, I heard the story of this woman, and she said, "I thought I would leave a little early this morning and drive my car slowly because I went down the road where the little child was thrown out of the buggy." And she did indeed spot a little hump over in what she described as a black hump over in the ditch. She got out, and there was the little girl all huddled up. They took her to the hospital and examined her thoroughly. She was released. She had no harm. She had spent all the night long in sub-freezing temperatures. No frostbite, no nothing. She was perfectly healthy when they found her after 10 hours. The doctors even are saying it's a miracle, because in those kinds of temperatures, people can't really, a little girl 3.5 years old had lost one shoe. No frostbite in that foot. I believe that angels had something to do with this. Well, you know how they have comments at the end of stories on computers. And some people said, one person said, how can this be? Children died of starvation all the night long. Why would God help this one little Amish girl? Folks, I can tell you what's the difference. These two miracle stories here are praying people. The people in the synagogue were praying people. The Amish are praying people. I'm sure who knows what prayers they said over that child. Who knows what they did to cooperate with God? The things in God's economy work by God's rules, by God's laws. You know those rules and you know those laws by studying the Word of God. We're going to study how angels, your confession has something to do with angels. Your confession indeed has something to do with what you say coming to pass. And we're going to talk about that this week and next, how angels have to do with our prosperity. And particularly, you know that I worked for Kenneth E. Hagin for a long time, and I have heard him talk about how God taught him about prosperity, how God told him that he could even command the angels to go and cause the things that he needed in this earth to come to him. Now, we have gotten the little mini book that tells about this from Kenneth E. Hagin, and we're going to give it to you as like a Christmas gift or a New Year's gift, absolutely free, if you just telephone us at 1-800-972-3447. We will send you Kenneth E. Hagin's mini book, How God Taught Me About Prosperity. And so we're going to be studying the rest of this week and next week about when you're living down here in this place where the Babylonian system is just going to pot all around you, what can you do? How can you exist? Thank God we're not on that system. We're on God's economy. And you'll want to learn how to cooperate with angels. Just call us at 1-800-972-3447 and we'll send you that mini book absolutely free. That's 1-800-972-3447. Be sure to visit us at billybrim.org to catch up on the archived radio program so you can catch up with where we are in our study on angels, God's unseen force in the unseen realm. This is Billy Brim saying, Shalom, shalom, until tomorrow.